and welcome to another episode of Keeping It Real, the only podcast made by Chicago real estate brokers where the top 1% of realtors share the secrets of their success. My name is DJ Paris. I am your host, and this is our 100th episode. We are so excited and grateful that you have listened to the podcast, some of you since the very beginning, others of you are new to the show. What we do here, if you happen to be new, if you didn't catch it from the tagline I just said, we talk to the top 1% of realtors here in Chicago and ask them how they built their business. And generously, they share all of their secrets because as I've learned after 100 episodes, there are no secrets and the people at the very top tend to be very generous with giving away everything they do because they believe in the law of abundance and that there's enough business for everyone. So today on the show, we have Luis Ortiz and from RE/MAX, and we're going to get to him in just a moment. But I just want to reflect a little bit on the last 100 episodes and say a couple of things to the audience. First of all, thank you for listening. Really appreciate it. Thank you for telling a friend. Our numbers have continued to grow ever since our first episode. Hopefully that never stops. And we're really honored because we have people reaching out to us to do advertising spots now, which we never thought would be a thing. So that's pretty exciting. We might have some advertising opportunities here shortly if you're listening and want to sponsor an episode, let's say. So be on the lookout for that. Also, if you're not already a member of our Facebook group, please go do that. Just do a search for Keeping It Real Podcast. You'll find us. And we post a daily link to a story that we found online that real estate brokers can use to grow their business. And also, we post links to all of our episodes, as well as links to the guests that we have in case you want to reach them directly. So we do that there. You can also visit our website, keepingitrealpod.com, where we have every episode. You can stream it right from the website. Obviously, we are also on iTunes, Google Play, any podcast directory. So just pull up a podcast app on your phone, do a search for Keeping It Real Podcasts, subscribe there. Oh, and lastly, if you visit our website, keepingitrealpod.com, you can subscribe to our email newsletter. All we do is send out an email every time we have an episode. So if that's the way you'd like to be notified, please do that. All right. That's enough of me. You're here to listen to Luis, and we've got him coming up right now. Today on the show, we have Luis Ortiz. Today on the show, we have Luis Ortiz from RE/MAX Partners in Berwyn. With 15 years in the real estate industry, Luis Ortiz continues to flourish as one of the top agents in the Illinois market. His dedication and determination to succeed exudes in his customer service and ever-growing track record. With a team of 10 by his side, his knowledge base continues to flourish while making a difference in the community. Clients are seen as family, not just transactions. Luis is also in the RE/MAX Hall of Fame and is ranked number 12 in the top 100 teams in all of RE/MAX, which is huge. He's also a top 1% producer, of course, with Chicago Association of Realtors year after year. Just a couple years ago, July 27th of 2017, Luis fulfilled a lifetime goal of owning his own RE/MAX office, which is in Berwyn. And making a difference in the community is his top priority, and his clients truly feel that he loves, serves, and cares about them. And Luis, you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong, because I just looked up some stats. Just in the past 12 months alone, and this may be low, I might be undercutting this number, so you have to correct me. Luis has done $42 million in production, which is 218 sales transactions. That is truly remarkable. So anyway, welcome, and we're so excited to have you on the show. Welcome, Luis.
Hey, thank you for having me. Appreciate it. I couldn't have done all of it without the support of my teammates. So a big shout out to them, that they deserve everything as well. I'm just there pushing them. They push me. So without them, I'm nobody as well. So.
Yeah, I'm not a producing broker. However, I feel the same way about the people that work at our firm, and most of the people we've interviewed who have big groups like you do feel the same way. So yeah, I want to make sure we acknowledge all the team members for sure. So tell us a little bit about, I know you've been in the business now 15 years, which is incredible. Tell us about why did you get in the business? How did you start?
Well, I started a little bit over 15 years ago. A friend that had an office and a real estate office. So said, hey, I see you're selling. Cause I used to sell vitamins, a part-time job, and then construction. So keep myself busy. And he said, hey, I see that you're not afraid to talk to people. So I'm going to join the real estate world. And I saw that he was doing great. And his, you know, everyone sees, oh, you're driving a nice car. That's the first thing, right? Oh, this guy has a nice car. So I'm like, well, if he's doing it, why can't I? And that's how I joined, became a broker about 15 years ago.
Wow. Well, you know, so a lot of the feedback we get from our listeners is, if they're newer to the business, one of the questions they often ask is, DJ, please ask these top 1%ers, what did they do when they first started, when they had no clients? You know, they probably had a contact list of friends and family. But what did you do, or what advice do you have for brokers who are just starting out, really trying to get going?
Yeah, the main thing is your sphere of influence, your friends, your family, co-workers, or anyone that doesn't know that you have a broker's license. Just, you have to get out there and let them know that you're a real estate professional and you're here to help them out. But concentrate on that, because starting off, you don't have money. But if you do have money, then start farming, the biggest thing is farming and promote yourself. But if you don't, that's how I started with my sphere of influence. And from one client, I got two clients. And from those two, I got more. So I kept growing the quality and the service that we give them, instead of, you said, we're not viewing our client as a transaction or a number. We view them as a client that is going to be in our family. We invite them to every event and we want to see them every time. So I would advise to strongly, your sphere of influence will be your number one.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It seems that the vast majority of consumers, buyers, sellers end up working, if they've not worked with a realtor before, if they have worked with a realtor before and they had a good experience, the stats say they go back to that person time and time again. But if they haven't yet had a real estate broker to work with, maybe it's their first time purchasing, or maybe they inherited a house and they're selling it and it's their first experience with a broker. The studies, National Association of Realtors does this every year or two, where they do these kind of studies. They're like, where'd you find your realtor? And overwhelmingly, even now we're, you know, so far into the digital age and the social connecting age online, is the vast majority still go with someone they already knew. And so, you know, for new brokers, just like Luis said so perfectly, like, yeah, you know, they're going to choose somebody, likely somebody they know, might as well be you. But, you know, when you're new, they probably don't remember you're a realtor, right? Unless you're consistently reminding them in a polite and non-pushy way, say, oh, by the way, you know, I am now a realtor. So I think that's really great advice, just consistently reminding people and, you know, expanding that sphere of influence whenever possible.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's talk about, I want to talk about running an office, because this oftentimes is another question. We have a lot of listeners who are doing well and they're like, oh gosh, maybe I should, you know, start to build a team, or in your case, build a team and run an office, which are two very big tasks. I mean, the production that your team has put on the books and the numbers they've put up. And again, I know you don't look at people as transactions, but if we just look at the numbers, it is absolutely incredible. You know, somebody from your team is closing a deal almost every day of the year, a sales transaction. That is that is just remarkable. So you guys do so much volume. And again, and I imagine a vast majority of it is referral based. Tell us a little bit about, that seems like a lot to manage. Can you talk a little bit about how you guys organize all of that?
Yeah. Well, that's why we have the team, because in order for us to do that volume, we have a system that once we get the lead or we get the referral, then we talk to the referral, we advise them what to do, we sit down with them or to get approved, and we send them to our preferred lender, and then that's it. But from once they go into the lending side, they get pre-approved, they come back, then we assign them either to myself or to one of my team members that are licensed and they're buyer specialists. They go out there, they go and show you homes and get you the right home also. And after that, they go under contract, we negotiate the deal. I'm part of every single deal of it. I touch it every morning, and then we also have a meeting on the pipeline at least once. At least once a week. That's a mandatory meeting. So once it goes on the contract, it goes to the transaction coordinators, and they're the ones that take it to the closing. So the inspections, the attorneys, the appraisals, any issues, they take care of it. We're involved as well, and to the closing table. So it's a little process, but once you have a process going, it's like a machine. It just keeps going.
Yeah, and I know your team works a lot with buyers. Are a lot of those first time home buyers? Are they a lot of them? It's their second purchase or?
Yeah, I would say, I don't have a precise number, but I have like close to 80% first time home buyers. Wow. The rest would be second and investors. We deal a lot with investors.
Sure. And so just out of curiosity, how do you find those first time home buyers? Obviously referrals, but are you doing, some brokers do web seminars or webinars, sort of the rent. I know renting versus buying is a real passion for you. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Well, we get them through, like you said, the referrals. So those are big. And we do seminars with renting versus buying. We team up with our lender, and the lender gives us, and we give them, the client, the renting versus buying. Because if you're over time, you're spending, you're just throwing money away. And what we're doing is going to get you to a home that has some equity, and has equity, and you're not just throwing the money away. You're actually investing money into it, and later on you could sell it and make money, get your money back, because it's really throwing out. If you see the charts, you will be surprised. If you're renting for $1,500 and in 8 years, 10 years and 15 years, we're talking about $88,000, even close to $150,000 if you do more years, just throwing away. Because we do have clients that have been renting for 15 years, some of them 20 years, and they don't see that they've been throwing away $150,000 in the past 10 to 15 years. So that's when they realize, like, wow, we just throw that money away.
Yeah, I think it's funny. I remember when I bought my I bought a condo a long, long time ago, and I really didn't understand, other than I felt like I should buy a place. I didn't really understand all of the financial benefits. And I just remember in my taxes that particular year going, oh my gosh, you can deduct the interest. And I just didn't know that. I went, oh, that's a huge, huge deal. And, so I think, you must be talking about that in these seminars. And I think that everyone who's listening needs to remember that, first-time buyers are largely, most of the time, they're not that sophisticated or knowledgeable about the buying versus renting sort of a conversation. And so if you're listening, like Luis was saying, that they do these events, they partner up with a lender. And, you know, so if you're a broker and you're new and, you know, most of your friends are renting, this is an opportunity to start educating them. And if you want to get some support from these ancillary providers like lenders, attorneys, title companies, places like that, they often will partner. They love doing these types of seminars. And so they will help sometimes shoulder the cost. They can sometimes even find the location and even promote it to their own clients. So the education, I think, couldn't be more important. And I'm imagine that's a huge part of your business too.
Yeah, absolutely. We love teaming up with them. They love teaming up with us because it's crazy when you see numbers that are just anyone that's listening, if you're renting for 1200 and you've been renting for 5 years, you just threw out $72,000 off the door.
Yeah. Yeah, and even if the place doesn't appreciate and it stays exactly the same cost, you know, or the value stays the same the day you buy it, the day you sell it, even if it never goes up a penny, boy, all those tax benefits you got along the way are make it a no-brainer. And oftentimes the mortgage is about the same cost, if not less, then depends how you structure it, but can be exactly the same. And so we I think as real estate professionals assume everyone knows and gets that. I assure you they don't. I know I didn't understand or get that. And I really could have purchased years before I did. I didn't know I could. So assume that, you know, people just they don't know. And huge opportunity there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So are you originally from Berwyn? Are you from that area? Are you from somewhere else? Or
no, original from the north side of Chicago. Then graduated in the north side. My parents moved out. Well, we moved out to Glendale Heights.
Sure.
And then that's why I did high school for 2 years, for junior and senior years. And we're there for about 10 years. Then I moved back to Chicago and in Berwyn. I've been doing business for 10 years. I really like the market here since I started. And the people and the businesses around. So in Berwyn, I've been doing it 10 years now.
And how important, and I know it's important for you, but I'd be curious to hear your advice for our listeners. How important is it to have a geographic specialty? You know, I know you obviously don't only do business in Berwyn. Of course, business help happens all over the place. But do you feel it's important to say, hey, you know, like I can help you anywhere, but here's really my wheelhouse, or at least knowing that internally, has that been helpful for you?
Oh yeah, it's the area the areas that you would dominate, and you know it like back of your hand, that a house, anything that comes up on the market, you know that that's that property. You've seen it, you drove by it, you've been in there, or it does make a big, big difference.
Yeah, I agree. And a lot of times brokers, especially new brokers starting out, they don't really know. And I always say, just pick your favorite neighborhood for now and study the MLS 20, 30 minutes a day. Go to the broker open houses if they're happening, and learn the inventory. And just over like 6 months, if you did just 20, 30 minutes of looking to see every home, every that's on the market, knowing the price points, knowing apartments if you're doing rentals, and even commercial space if you're interested in that, 6 months to a year, you will be such an expert. I imagine nobody knows Berwyn better than Luis and his team, because that is their primary focus. And, you know, if you're looking for a home there, think about the brand that Luis and his team have built in Berwyn. There's nobody else. I mean, his team is it, and they are going to win every deal because of that hyper focus around that specialty. So I'm so glad you shared that.
Yeah, no, thank you for that, and it's true. People don't see that having our name out there. We deal with a lot of brokers and colleagues that they know that we do a great job, they do want to work with us, and that it helps out with the negotiations and if there's multiple offers as well too.
Yeah. I would like to switch gears to talk about the evolution of technology in your business. Cause I know you hit the ground running and you've been running this really successful practice and now the successful office and successful team. And you're literally one of the top RE/MAX teams in the country, which is, Luis is very humble, but this is a big deal. I mean, RE/MAX, I think, is still the largest real estate firm in the world, or if they're not, they're number two, but I think they're number one. And we're still number one. Yeah. And he's one of the top people in one of the top firms in the top firm. So, let's talk about that. Cause I know you had a funny, or system that's evolved where you used to have sticky notes all over your car. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Oh yeah. That was my calendar. That was my reminders. That was my things to do. I would my sticky note, write everything down. A client called me this and that. I go put it on the sticky note, put it on the dashboard. So yeah, it was funny because when some of the clients would say, "Oh, well, can you drive us?" Oh, sure, come in, and they would be like, "Oh, it looked funny because it's like covered in sticky notes everywhere." And I don't know how I kept it up, but I'm pretty sure that if a sticky note fell off, I'd be screwed because I didn't know about my appointment. So yeah, the calendar, the phone, the smartphone, when it came out, it was a game changer. You could see your appointments there. Because remember, 10 years ago, I still had a flip phone, so or still a couple of 5 years ago, still probably. The sticky notes were, I wouldn't go back to them. So whoever is using them, stop it. Just, yeah, do your calendar and your things to do list in front of you. I have a things to do list in front of me every day.
Yeah.
And that's where I write down everything.
Well, you have to, and you probably have a great, see, I have the world's worst memory. You probably have a great memory, but you're still doing 200 plus transactions a year. So, you know, there's just no way to keep it all in your head, even if you have the world's best memory. So yeah, systems are important, but I love the fact that you still had a system, even though maybe it wasn't the most elegant system back then. But you had a portable printer, and did that go with you in the car as well?
Oh yeah, yeah. That portable printer would be in the car to meet clients and print out the contracts, print out copies for them, print out listings. It would be a printer that'd be portable charger, and I would meet them at Starbucks, anywhere. I would do it literally anywhere in the parking lot.
Sure.
And that's how I managed to do it when I was by myself. Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned that, but I still have that little printer.
Well, look, I mean, I think the point is you came prepared, and you know, as a broker whose most brokers are working remote these days or from their car, at least a good chunk of the business is done, you know, remotely. And if you're, you know, if you work in an office, that's great too. But you already have everything at the office, but you know, your car is your office for a lot of brokers. And so make sure you have, you know, maybe we don't need portable printers as much anymore, but just being prepared, I think, is important. Is having, you know, if you're showing buyers a house, have a whole kit in your trunk in case, you know, they need, you know, footies to not scuff up the floor, or you know, have that stuff. And you can, there's lots of resources online that say, okay, here's the 25 things you need in your trunk if you're a realtor. And you know, I imagine Luis is one of those people that has all that stuff.
Yeah, that's very important. A screwdriver, a knife, a pocket knife, all that it's still in my car. So
I want to talk about client appreciation, because you work with a lot of first time home buyers, so they are the first real estate professional experience they have is with you or your team. And then I know you stay in touch with them after the sale. And I know that that's a huge component of course, making sure people don't forget about you. How do you guys do that? I know you mentioned you do events, right?
Yeah, we have events. We have events for happy hours for clients that want to get the unwind, and we have it once a month.
Wow.
And then, yeah, we have that once a month, and we have throughout the year, we have, if it's like Thanksgiving, we give, they come in, we give them the pies, and we give them a lot of stuff that we have here. Christmas, also pictures with Santa, pictures with the bunny. That's a lot. And then the biggest one that we have is the summer event that we have in back of the office. It's we block out, it's like two blocks, about one block set up for us. And we have performers, music, food, water slides, jumpies, what's it called? The tank, all kinds of events, all
sure.
kinds of stuff for the kids and grown-ups. And that's one of the biggest ones. And that's how we continue to see them face to face.
Yeah. We live in such a digitally connected, but interpersonally disconnected kind of environment these days, where we know what's going on with our friends from 20 years ago, if they're posting on Facebook, but when's the last time we saw them in person? And this, you know, I think the most successful brokers I've met with, are very, very much like what Luis mentioned, although Luis goes so far above and beyond even what most of the people we interview on the show have done for, you know, doing a once a month happy hour. By the way, another opportunity, if you're a broker who maybe your budget for those types of events is small, or maybe your budget is zero, again, you can partner with lenders and attorneys, and you can build those relationships, and they can help subsidize some of the cost there. But just think, he's doing like 14 events a year minimum, including one that's a giant festival in right there at you know, near his office, along with, you know, holiday events and then the happy hours. And you know, it's, God, boy, that is such a great idea, and also a great way to give back to the people that support your business. And obviously that's why you do it. And I suspect most brokers don't do those things, or at least maybe they could do more of them. So if everyone's listening, plan your next event, even if it's just for the people that, you know, you've worked with, and you just want to say thanks, because that's what'll keep them coming back, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, that's correct.
And I also just wanted to hear, you told us before we started the podcast, but I want to hear the story from you. You had a really unusual experience where you had somebody was looking for a multi-unit complex, you know, to purchase, I'm guessing. And it turned out the client really wasn't qualified. Do you mind sharing that? Do you know the story I'm referencing?
Well, there was a couple of them. Is that the one that, we work with, so many.
That's true. That's true. You have hundreds of clients. Well, this was where the client turned out to not have a home themselves.
Okay.
Yeah. Can you tell that story?
Yeah, that they bought. I mean, wow. We're shopping around, and they gave me a pre-approved letter, but that was way back that I didn't even call the lender and see if they were approved. And I usually do. I mean, now we absolutely do call the lender and see, hey, is this person approved? But they gave me a letter.
Sure.
But we showed them a lot of multi-family homes, and at the end of the day, they weren't qualified. They just wanted to go look at houses, and they lied about the pre-approval, and actually this client at the end became a good friend of mine, and it turned out that later on, he bought several properties from me, and he's a good referral source.
Wow, that's how it works, right? It always, you know, and they always say, what's that expression? it's never crowded along the extra mile or something to that effect, where as a broker, you know, if you go be above and beyond and really, you know, stay with your clients and meet them where they're at in the process, what you find is they don't forget that. And a lot of brokers don't go the extra mile, quite frankly. Luis, of course, knows that more than anyone. He does go the extra mile, and that's why he's been so successful. You have this great RE/MAX office, this team that's just crushing it. Are you in the process of looking to expand the team?
Yeah, absolutely. We're always looking to expand the team and the office as well. So a lot of people think that I'm not hiring. I am hiring as long as you fit the team criteria, because also I let the team have a say so on the hiring part too, because we don't want to have a culture that's a bad sure. culture. So I give them the okay of green light or red light, but it has to be a good reason why we're not hiring. But yeah, we're hiring, and if you still want to be close to us, but not as part of the team, obviously the office is hiring as well, and learn from top producers, not just me, other agents, colleagues here that are also top producers.
Yeah, that's true. I wanted to make sure we mentioned that it's not just Luis who's successful. His whole team is successful individually. They're crushing it as a team. They're crushing it. And, you know, Luis is the one guiding the ship and at the helm. And, you know, I know if I was out there producing and I wanted to really learn from one of the best brokers I could, you know, I would certainly consider working at your firm as well. So the name of his firm, by the way, is RE/MAX Partners. They're in Berwyn. And we will post a link directly to both your Facebook page, although you can find it if you just go on Facebook and search for RE/MAX Partners and then Berwyn, it'll pop up. Because there's a RE/MAX Partners out in California, obviously that's not Luis, but the one here locally. Mm-hmm. And then also we'll post a link to your Instagram, but you can actually even schedule appointments right from there. You guys made it really easy to get in touch via your social media, which is really cool. So I will post a link so people can check it out for sure. And then also, Luis, it's not just brokers who listen. We have buyers, sellers, renters, investors who listen to the show. And the reason we know this is because after the episode, it's not uncommon for us to hear back from someone we interview going, hey, I got a couple of clients. They heard my podcast. So if there is anyone out there who says, gosh, you know, I didn't, you know, I'm looking for a good broker and, you know, Luis or someone on his team might be a good fit, what's the best way they should reach out?
Well, they can reach out at the Facebook, people are at the social media, the Los Ortiz team, or the 708-715-2150. That's the cell phone, 708-715-2150.
Yeah, that's great. We will post links to that also in the notes. So if you're listening in your car, don't worry about writing that down. Just go to the notes for the podcast episode. You'll see how to get in touch. You can actually just tap on it right from your phone, thank goodness, and email, call, and also visit them on social media. So we'll post those links for you. And one last thing before we end up, I'd love to ask Luis, if he had just one piece of advice for anyone looking to increase production, sort of what you see as, and we've gone through a lot. So, you know, even if we just go over something we've already covered, one piece of advice for anyone listening that's just looking to go that extra mile, who's a broker, any suggestions there?
Yeah. If you want depending on what you want, first you have to find out what you really want. What is your why?
Yes.
Why are you doing yes. this? If you know those things, then you can set up your map. That's what I recommend. First, knowing your why. It might be your kids. It might be yourself, or it just might be a challenge. But know your why. It might be money too, because obviously you need money to to buy a nice car, you need money to feed your kids and pay the mortgage, right? So I would strongly just go deep and see your why, because a lot of people are in this business and they're in this business just to spend some time, and really they don't know. But once they find that why, it's like opening up a something that you won't even I can't even tell you how it feels, but it feels really good, and then it makes you fire up even more. It makes you like, if you're tired, you're going out there and you're running another 10 miles. That's how it feels.
Yeah, boy, you know, I'm so glad you said that. That is, I ask that question a lot on the show, and I think you may be the first, or we've done now about 100 episodes, so I think one other person may have said a similar thing, and I think it's really important. A lot of times people say, well, here's a tactic to get more business, and Luis is taking a step back and going, what's the reason you do this? And I think he's so right, because attitude is everything. Passion is everything. And the only way you're going to be passionate or have the right attitude is knowing exactly why you got in this business and what you're looking for out of it. And then, and like Luis says, that's what keeps you going when it's late at night or early in the morning, and you don't want to really get up there and do it, because, you know, we all would rather sit in bed, you know, and not work early or late. But you're so right. So everyone out there, you know your why, and then everything else pretty much follows, right?
Yeah, it really does, because that will give you like a vision and a tunnel vision that you'll be surprised how it comes to you. It naturally, and then once you're, because you could be listening to thousands and reading 1,000 books and listening to me, but because I've been, I could tell 100 people what to do, and if you don't know, like, your why, you won't do it. I could tell you, people say, oh, what's your secret? Well, this is my secret. There's no secret. This is what I do. This is the ABC process. I'm going to do it. Okay, you do it. And I give them the tools. I give them everything, and right. They don't do it.
That's right. Yeah, they don't know their why. I remember we interviewed somebody out, and we'll just end with this, and I can't remember who it was at the moment, so I apologize, but this is such a great story that is so perfectly married to what Luis just said, where somebody whose son was coming into the business, and the father had been a broker for years and years, and the son came in and said, here's how many deals I want to close next year, and it was a certain number, and the father said, okay, I want you to turn around, walk out of the office, and then I want you to come back and say, this is how many people I want to help in the next year. And he said that it's a small shift. It's still ultimately the same goal, but if you come at it from my why is not to close the transaction, Luis's why is not closing the transaction, he's there to help. And I think that shows in his success and also his team's success. And really, that does it for our 100th episode. So on behalf of Luis and myself, we thank you. First, we thank Luis for spending time to be on our podcast and share everything he knows about building a successful brokerage and team. And we thank all of you for listening. I had the idea to do this several years ago and finally got off my rear end and did something about it. And I'm really grateful that it's resonated with so many listeners, and we will keep making more episodes. Assume you keep listening. I mean, if you stop listening, I'm going to stop. So keep listening. Thanks again, and we'll see you on the next episode.